Hello everyone, this is Kathleen Maxwell Randy with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. I'm so thankful that you've joined me for today's podcast. I'm also grateful for those that make this podcast possible. Our monthly sponsors, Mary Mitchelstein, Colin Melissa Johnson, Deanna Caraway, Laura Jane Elder, and special gifts from Terry Schreiner, Lisa Davis, Fran Hulse, Claire Nilms, and Mary Cockflesh. We now have listeners from 23 different countries. If you want to give and love this podcast, consider becoming a patron. Your donations keep them coming and are appreciated to cover the cost. To give, simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. Also, check out my new website for more information at www.kathleenmaxwellramby.com. And if you enjoy these messages, please leave me a comment and like the podcast, as I love hearing from my listeners. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice the lesson. Well, welcome everyone to The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. And welcome to those of you that are going to be joining us by Facebook Live tonight. If you think of someone that needs to hear this lesson, which is titled Living in Uncertainty Without Fear, don't forget to tag a friend or share it with them after this is over. And I hope everyone will get a lot out of this lesson, because there certainly is a lot of uncertainty. And I always prepare my materials or what the topics are. This was prepared back in, I guess, early September. And little did I know that there would still be a lot more uncertainty in our nation and in our world at this time. But again, it's titled Living in Uncertainty Without Fear. And let's just jump in and pray as we start. Father, I just thank you for each one that's here tonight and each one that's listening by Facebook. And Lord, I thank you that we can trust you and that you're faithful when things are so uncertain in our lives. Thank you for who you are. And I just ask that you just touch hearts and just bring freedom from fear. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, there is just so much right now with uncertainty with COVID-19 and our numbers picking up and the election and jobs, I'm sure, for a lot of people, because the world shut down last time. And it was traumatic, I think, for the world as well as for our country. And there has been a lot of loss that people are still recuperating from. And I know we're still trying to hang on to a business, my husband and I. But there's also a fear of illness, a loss of income, afraid for our families. You know, there's a lot of different fears I think people struggled with. And part of my testimony is how God has been so faithful to set me free of a number of fears that I dealt with in my life. But one of the biggest fears I think we struggle with is a fear of the unknown. You know, if we knew something, then we would feel more confident. But when we don't know something, there's that element of stepping out and kind of walking on water and trying to figure out how to walk the situation that we're in, whatever it is. And in reality, we all live in uncertainty every day. None of us have any guarantees, really, in life. You know, my plan is to get in my car and drive home tonight, but there's no guarantee that I will actually make it. Things happen in life. And, you know, there's, what are we going to do in those times? And I think something that is so important is that our certainty and security, and for those of you that are taking notes, our certainty and security must be rooted in the nature of who God is. And he is faithful when life is uncertain. Faithfulness is actually a part of the character of God. And it's how he describes himself. And I want to give you a couple of scriptures that talk about God's faithfulness. Psalms 36, verse 5 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies." And right there we see that God's faithfulness is so grand, it's so big, it reaches up to the sky. And 1 Corinthians 1:9 tells us, it says, "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful. And then Deuteronomy, I want to share this passage because it's a great one too that talks about God's faithfulness. And it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to thousands of generations who love him and keep his commandments." And so in times when times are uncertain in our lives, one of the big keys is that we hang on to the faithfulness of God. Okay. I'm going to grab this paper right here because I need it. My notes didn't get copied right when I did print it. My highlighted stuff. Psalms 40, verse 11 talks about God's faithfulness. And listen to this one. It says, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me." Always protect me. Isn't that sweet? 17 years ago when my mom got sick, it was a real awakening. 30 years ago when my marriage was in shambles. I've had uncertainty and problems at work, in our family, and the list can go on. But here's what I know to be true. And a lot of these now that I've named are things that I've walked through, but now I'm at a different place. Here's what I know is God has been faithful to me and has been with me every step of the way. And those were things that I knew prior to that. So we always have to know that even when we're walking down an unknown path or something, we can't figure it out yet, what we're going to do or how we're going to make it or what the future might look like for us. As we're going down that path and that journey, we can rest in that God is faithful and that he is with us. You know, God has set me free of a number of fears, and some of the ones that, and I didn't realize that I was a fear-based person until I began to see some things in my life. Sometimes we can walk around in darkness and not even know. We don't see what's going on, but some of the fears that the Lord has set me free of, fear of failure, fear of rejection, a fear of death, fear of the dark, fear of germs, fear of making a mistake. I used to be I didn't want to step out because I didn't want to make a mistake and then be embarrassed or be laughed at. And I look back in my life and there's a lot of things that I didn't do that I was like, why on earth didn't I do that? Because I could have done it. But I was in bondage by a fear of making a mistake. And anxiety plagued me. The podcast that I have on freedom from fear talks about a lot about my journey in freedom from those fears. So I would encourage you to check that out. And one of the major things I learned in those seasons and when God's hand was really on me and he really wanted to free me up and work freedom into my life was found in 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." And so what I began to quickly realize is that fear is not from God. It's not part of his nature. It's not from God. So if it's not from God and we're battling it, what are we battling? We're battling the enemy, which is Satan, who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But one of the other things that I really began to learn too in that time was how much love displaces fear. When we really know who we are in the Lord, when we really know who God wants to be for us, when we're secure in His love, that is when we have such an advantage against fear. And I want to read 1 John 4 and verse 18. It says, "There is no fear in love." If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to that. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love." So one of the greatest lessons I learned in that time frame was when I was afraid, or something I would feel, all of a sudden my heart would be, you know, gripped with fear or panic, was that I needed a greater revelation of God's love. And instead of giving in to the fear, it's something I still use today. If I feel afraid in any way or apprehensive, I just stop in that moment and say, "Lord, I need a fresh revelation of your love for me. God, I just open my heart to you and just fill me with your love. Fill me with your peace." And when I take some moments, even in a busy day, to just stop and say, "Lord, I need you." And I had a crazy afternoon. But as I took time and just said, "Okay, Lord, I give this to you. It happened. Life happens." And oftentimes our schedules can get hijacked and our plan is out the window. But it's in those places that we can rest in God's great love to us. So I want to give that to you. If you find yourself battling anxiety, fear, panic, you just need more of a revelation of God's love. That's one of the things I think that is so key. And I think there's some podcasts on living much loved and wake up to who you are and understanding our value and worth that are some of the podcasts that might help you in that. There is, you know, the biggest fear that we face is the fear, I think, of the unknown. And that's one, if you're filling in and taking notes tonight, here in person. The biggest fear many of us face is a fear of the unknown. And like I said, with my mom, there was so much of that. And then after journeying with mom for several years, then my late husband got a cancer that 2 in a million get. So there was a whole lot of uncertainty. And I quickly realized the doctors didn't have answers, and that my groundedness in that time had to be in the Lord. I couldn't put my dependency on them, even though they were doing everything they could. And then there was the uncertainty of being widowed at 49, and what was life going to look like? I married at 19. Married life was all I knew. How was I going to navigate? How was I going to grow old? But, you know, just all of those things where your mind can get going. And, you know, fear torments, and it's like punishment. I mean, we just read that in the scripture up here. We read that in 1 John 4:18. It says, because fear torments, right there. Fear torments and is like punishment. But God's heart for us is to live free and to live secure in His love. And I feel like it's imperative that we treat fear as a robber and a thief. We can't entertain it. We can't. And I look back on my life, and there was so much in my life that it was like fear would show up and I would, like, you know, throw open the door to my house and say, "Well, come on in." Well, if there was a thief out there or somebody that was going to try to steal from me, I'd be locking the door and, you know, "No, you can't come in," and call in 911. But what I find is so many people, and I hear it, and it, it I hear it frequently. You know, oh, I'm so anxious about this. And I want to stop people and say, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be so anxious. Yes, something can bother you, but it's what we do with that in that time frame. And, you know, I was the queen of excuses and, you know, invited fear in and let it rule my life and let it rob me. But I want to challenge you to just ask God for a greater revelation of his love for you. And you know, when COVID-19, one of the fears I struggled with as a little girl and then as a young mother was a fear of germs. And when this COVID thing hit, I made the comment to Stephen. We were just talking, my husband and I were talking about, you know, okay, how are we going to handle this? What are we going to do? And I looked at Stephen and I said, I know it's a big threat. I'm going to do everything I need to do. But I've watched tumors grow on someone I've loved. And I've been set free of a fear of germs. And I said, I'm not going back. I am not going back to that bondage because it was bondage in my life. It really did. And part of that was the way I grew up. My mom would put that Lysol, that smelly stuff, in the brown bottle. Of course, now we know it's really good to kill everything. Well, but I mean, she would literally use that on us, and it was all over our house all the time. And I thought that was normal. And that's the way I had started raising my own children until the Lord began to set me free of that. But one of the things that I want to leave with you tonight, and write this down, is that we will never face a situation without the presence and care of a loving God. We will never face a situation without the presence and care of God. And I have that written down on a little note card. And I have it in a place in my home where it reminds me throughout the day, because there's always situations that come up every day, always situations where, you know, I'm tempted to, oh my goodness, how are we going to do that? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that? And when I stop and say, it doesn't matter, God, I'll never face a situation that your love and your presence and your faithfulness is right there with me. And it has given so much peace to my heart. So much peace. And now when stuff happens, it doesn't affect me near as much because I've been working this in and practicing. And I want to use the word practice because when we're talking about the Bible, that's the difference in relationship and religion. Religion says, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. Don't forget that. Oh, you're a failure if you do this. And relationship with God, God invites us into relationship with him. And he loved us when we were at our worst. He loved us when we were doing the worst sin that we've ever done. He loves us, but he loves us to partner with him and practice. So don't get down on yourself. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I can really see I've just entertained sin. I've entertained fear all the time. Don't get down on yourself. Get up and begin to practice peace and begin to practice an awareness of who he is and how much he dearly, dearly loves us. I want to give you a scripture. Well, not yet, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you another one right now. I thought it was already there. Isaiah 41 in verse 9 and 10 is so key as we take God's hand and partner with him during uncertainty in our crisis. And it says, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And what I love about that is he tells us right there in the beginning, I have chosen you. I've said, I want you. God said, I want you. Marilyn, I want you. Debbie, I want you. I want you to partner with me. I want to have fellowship with you. And that's the invitation that God gives to each and every one of us. And he says, I haven't rejected you. You're not rejected. You're chosen and dearly loved. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Sometimes people aren't there to strengthen us. Sometimes they're not there to help us. But God says, I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I think it is so important that what I found in my own life is that I saw my problem or my circumstances or my situation bigger than what was actually going on. I saw it bigger than God. And we can't do that. We have to see God bigger than our situations. You know, faith is not having to know what is going to happen next. That's what faith is. Faith is not knowing what is going to happen next, but trusting in a God who is faithful. Yeah, you might want to write that one down. That's a good one. You know, 2 Chronicles is a story in the Bible that I love. And this army surrounded Jehoshaphat and his people, and they didn't know what to do. And, you know, it says in verse 9, it says, well, right before that, it says, you know, God, you rule over the kingdoms of the nation, and power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. So one of the first things that Jehoshaphat did is he declared who God was. When we saw this vast army around him, he said he declared who God was. And it's important in times of crisis and uncertainty that we declare who God is. And he says, no one will withstand you. And then in verse 9, it says, if calamity, and this is 2 Chronicles 20, is where I'm reading from. Verse 9 says, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we're in a plague right now. We are in a modern day plague. Plagues are not anything new to the Lord. Okay, here we go. I'm going to keep going. We will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Jehoshaphat was declaring right then and there, that's what he was going to do, that he was going to cry out to God. And so whatever your uncertainty is, whatever fear you might be struggling with, I think it's important that we cry out to God. We declare who he is. Get you a scripture. I read some on faithfulness, but you might have another one that you need to put as a reminder to make God bigger than your fear. In verse 12 says, in this passage, it says, and I love this, for we have no power to face this vast army. I mean, now that's looking at reality, isn't it? You know, some people are afraid to say that. I love Jehoshaphat. No, he calls it like it is. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. How many of you felt attacked recently in some capacity? And then he says, here's the key. We know not what to do, but our eyes are on you. I think one of the things that's so important right now with where our nation is, with where we are on multiple levels of uncertainty, is that as the body of Christ, our eyes need to be fixed on the Lord, fixed on him. Lord, how do I get walked through this? Lord, how do you want me to respond to people that are contentious? God, I'm looking to you for wisdom in how to run our business. God, I'm looking to you to help navigate whatever your circumstance is. It doesn't have to be a big crisis. But if it's something you're dealing with, why not look to the Lord? And so I love this passage because he's so honest and says that this is a vast army and we don't have the power to withstand it. We know not what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then the end of that story, what's so cool is Jehoshaphat defeated his enemies, and it took 3 days to carry all the blessings, the treasures away. 3 days. That's a lot of blessings, isn't it? So God redeemed. And I have to wonder if right now where we are and what's going on in our nation is somewhat of a wake-up call for us in the body of Christ, because the world needs our light now more than ever before, because panic is rampant, fear is rampant, uncertainty is rampant, and this is where the rubber meets the road. And I am so excited about all of it because we have such a prime opportunity to show others around us, whether it's at the grocery store or the doctor's office or the gas station or the repairman that comes to your house. We have an opportunity to show others who Jesus Christ really is and the love and what we have. And so I am just praying that in the midst of all of this upheaval, and even with this COVID, that we're going to come out of this, and it's going to take all of us as believers that are walking with the Lord, it's going to take us days to carry the blessings, and they're going to carry over. And so my prayer during the pandemic in this situation is that we will partner with God and come out stronger, better physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. Because all those things have been touched. If they haven't touched our lives, they've touched somebody we love. And certainly now. Now I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah 28:16, and I'm going to give you a little nugget that I didn't find until earlier this last year. I've read the Bible for years, but I found this, and it says, Isaiah 28:16, it says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation." It's talking about Jesus. It says, "The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And that's from the New International Version. But I'm going to read the last part of it again. "The one who relies on it will not be stricken with panic." When we rely on Jesus, we have a sure foundation, and we don't live in fear and panic. So who are you relying on? That's my question. Who are you relying on? We have a choice of how we're going to walk this out with on so many levels. We have a choice. And we can walk in peace, or we can walk in fear and panic in our lives. But it's in that peace and in that partnership with the Lord where the uncertainty, we can overcome the uncertainty. So I want to go over just some steps as I reflected back on how did I navigate that time. As I look back on those seasons of my life and had to say, what were some of the things that helped me in overcoming fear and uncertainty? And the first one was, for those of you that are taking notes here, steps to walking in uncertainty without fear. Number one was realize fear is not your friend. And that is, I think, that is a big, big key. Fear is not your friend. And so we have to realize when you feel afraid, when you feel panicked, when you feel, or somebody even Have you ever been out somewhere and somebody comes up and they start talking about, I'm so anxious about this and I'm worried about that and da-da-da, and before you know it, you start to get that way just hearing them. I mean, that has happened. And the other day I was around somebody and that kind of happened. I said, you know what? I've got plenty of peace today. Can I give you some of mine? You know, and it kind of took them back, you know, and I said, well, sure. I think they didn't realize, because I think a lot of people just step into that. And so guard your words. Your words have power. Don't go around proclaiming, I'm so afraid of this. I'm so anxious about this. Yes, realize you might be battling it, but it's, I think, much better to say, I'm battling anxiety. I'm battling fear. I'm battling the unknown. I don't know what to do. That's okay, but don't empower the enemy, because we've already read in 1 John how God hasn't, or in Timothy, how God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So don't treat fear like a house guest, because it's a robber and it's a thief, and it would love to sneak up on you. Love to sneak up on you. I want to share just a little story. Right before COVID, right when COVID was breaking out, in March, mid-March, I guess, I had a trip planned to go to Hawaii to see my grandbabies. And I was excited about it because I hadn't seen them in a while, and all of this was coming up, and there weren't really, the nation hadn't been shut down at that point, but obviously things were ramping up and people weren't quite sure about it. And Stephen, my husband, asked me, he said, you know, are you sure you want to go? And I said, you know, I've been praying about it and I really feel peaceful about it. I said, but if you don't want me to go, I won't go. I said, so you pray and you know, let's talk about it in a few days. So we did. And he was like, no, if you feel okay, he said, I'm okay with you going. So he dropped me off early one morning to catch the plane. And he dropped me off and I took my luggage and went on into the airport. And when I went in, it was like a ghost town. There were not that many people there. And we had frequently flown at that time to go fishing. And so I knew what the airport was normally like at that time of the morning. And so I got through the gate and I thought, okay, well, this is strange. And got through the gate. And as I started down the corridor, all of a sudden, it was like I had this anxiety that came over me, just like this anxiousness. And I kind of stopped and I looked around and, you know, just stopped with my bag. And I just said, Lord, what is this? What is this? Because it felt familiar to me. And immediately what hit me was there was so much anxiety in the atmosphere because of the pandemic. And what my spirit, the spirit of God in me, was picking up on was the anxiety and the panic and the fear that was even there in that airport. And I stopped for a minute and I thought, no, I'm not going back. I am not going back. And so I began to just walk down the halls of the airport, because I was already checked in, and just began to I'm just praying there as I'm pulling my bag, but I'm just thanking the Lord for his peace. And I'm, you know, you could see the look on some people's faces of just the panic and the dread, and people wouldn't even look anybody in the eyes. And this was before things began to shut down. Okay, so this was right in that time period. But it really showed me how the anxiety, it's a battle right now. And with our cases picking up, we might encounter that, but we have a God-given right to walk in peace in any situation we face. And we never face a situation without the presence of God, a God that loves us. So remember, and for me, I just stopped in that airport and I said, no, fear, you're not going to rob me of this time and this trip. And as I just prayed about the peace of God coming into my life and to those around, you know, that I would see, Lord, help that lady. Father, help that man. He looks so distraught. As I began to pray, in about, 5 minutes, that was gone, that anxiety. And I went on and I had a great trip. I got back and it was 3 days later that Hawaii was totally shut down. Totally shut down, and they still haven't opened back up. You still can't travel that. But it was a real, I'm telling you, it's a spirit. And we read right here, it's not from God. I didn't make this up. It's right here in the Bible. Check it out yourself. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And, you know, it might say in your Bible, he hasn't given us a spirit of timidity. But one version says, for the spirit of God that God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so some of this is being disciplined in disciplining ourselves to walk a new way, to walk in the peace that God brings. So the second thing that I think was a real asset in walking in uncertainty was, again, asking God for a fresh revelation of his love for you. Asking God for a fresh revelation of his love for you. Because we've already said the perfect, we've already read the scripture about how perfect love casts out fear. Well, I'm going to give you another one. This is 1 John 4:15-18. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God is in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Oh my goodness, the Bible is so rich with the things that we need to face each and every day. And then I love Romans 8:31-36. And that's where the passage says, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, and how he graciously gives us all things. And then the rest of that passage says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And neither depth nor height nor anything in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. You know, David in the Bible that wrote the Psalms, wrote a lot of the Psalms. One of the things he said, and I want to read Psalms 40:11. And let me encourage you to take all these scriptures, take all of these scriptures and go back and read them, because I know it's a lot and I'm reading a lot, but the word is where we can draw our strength. So I really want to challenge you to take these scriptures. And if you're listening by Facebook Live, maybe write them down. You can listen again. You can listen again to this on Facebook Live. You can listen on the podcast that I'll be posting on this. But you can listen again and write those scriptures down. But Psalms 40:11 says, do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Right there, those two passages, those, you know, at the beginning, love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness will protect you. And so for you and me, what that means in our everyday life is when we feel anxious or worried or we're not quite sure what to do, to step into, God, I know you're faithful. God, I know you love me. Lord, give me a fresh revelation of your love for me. Show me your love. In Psalm, the third thing that I found that was really helpful in overcoming fear of the unknown was put your hope in God, not the world. When we put our hope in God, it gives us confidence. When we make God bigger than our circumstances, it gives us confidence. Put your hope in God. Psalm 31, verse 24 is really good, and it says, "Be strong, take heart, all who of you who hope in the Lord." Do you see right there how you and I have an opportunity to partner with God, to put our hope in Him? He tells us to be strong. He's never going to tell us to do something that we can't do. He's going to supply what we need in every situation. But we have to take His hand. Be strong, take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. And then it says in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord." Make God bigger. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So you're a hope dealer? Are you dealing out hope to people each and every day? Or are you joining in the negative bandwagon? That's my question. Are you being a dealer of hope? Are you sharing a hope? You know, in any situation, I always try, when I'm listening to somebody, to bring it back to God. How do you think about this? What's your thought on this? What's in your heart? And because that's what gives hope. That's what gives hope. And there is a podcast that I've done called The Anchor of Hope. For those of you that are watching live, you can access that through the website or KathleenMaxwellRamby.podbeampodcast. Okay, and the fourth thing is trust God. Because when we trust God, it leads to great faith. We have to trust God, not the news. We have to trust God, not the president or the CDC, you know, or the doctors. They can't always heal. But when God gives us a directive, then we can march with confidence. I was praying about a situation just this past week, and it was something that, you know, my heart was kind of heavy about. And I said, "Lord, how do you want me to act? What do you require of me in this situation? How do I need to handle things?" And the Lord just, in my quiet time, He said, "You need to be more patient and let me work." And I'm telling you, when we go to the Lord and ask Him, and He'll show you sometimes in a small voice, sometimes you might get the answer as you walk through your day. It may not always be right at that moment, but I have great confidence because I know what my marching orders are in this situation. I know for me, I've got to be more patient. And so trust God. We have to, it says in Proverbs 3:5-8, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," not part of your heart, not half of your heart. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." That's circled in my Bible, all of your heart. And it says, "And lean not to your own understanding." There's just some things you're not going to figure out. But well, here's what I can tell you. As you partner with God, as you take His hand, as you look to Him, as you see Him bigger in this situation, as you depend on Him, as you make Him bigger, as you submit your ways to Him and don't lean on our understanding, it says He will make your paths straight. He will make our paths straight. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord." Again, fear the Lord does not mean be scared of the Lord. It means to make God bigger. To reverence Him. "Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Isn't that cool? And Psalm 91, I'm not going to read that just for time's sake, but I would encourage you to read Psalm 91 because it has so much to share just about peace and about who God is in times of uncertainty. I firmly believe that God will walk each one of us through the uncertainty that we have. We have no guarantees in life, but we can trust a God who loves us. We can put our hope in a God who is with us. We can. There are things we can do. We don't walk around as aimlessly in the world. We can, or we can put our trust and our faith in the Lord in the times of uncertainty. And it's in that place where we step back into His love and take His hand that our hearts can rest. So I just want to pray with each one of you as we close. Lord, thank you so much for giving us peace, for giving us you, for giving us Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit, Lord, to walk with us through each and every day. And I pray that each one of us, Lord, would just wake up even tomorrow with the fresh excitements of walking with you through the day and looking to you and making you bigger and looking to you for wisdom. And God, I just declare in my own life that we will trust you. We will rest in your love for us. And so God, give us a greater revelation of your love. Open our eyes to see how much you dearly, dearly love us as we walk through the days of uncertainty. And Father, your word says that will cast out all fear. And so I bless each household listening. I bless each and every one of us. And Lord, let us be dealers of your hope. Let us give it generously and give it abundantly to those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. Take an opportunity, if you've enjoyed this, to go back to some of the podcasts. You can listen to them over and over again. And that is, again, on Apple Podcast, KathleenMaxwellRamby.com or KathleenMaxwellRamby.podbean. And also on the website, which is myname.com, you can access all those things and put your name in for the book that's going to be hopefully be released by the middle of the year. So thanks for joining in and watching, and the Lord bless you. Good night.